Tough clients. Every nutrition and fitness professional's got them. You know the ones that make you gnash your teeth, bite your tongue, and think, what the heck is wrong with you people? Why can't you follow simple instructions or do what's good for you? But don't take it personally. Pharmaceutical companies and physicians are gnashing their teeth too. You see, medical patients aren't taking their pills either. When prescribed life-saving cancer, heart disease, and diabetes medications, they take them a shockingly low 55% of the time. If almost half of people can't spare 10 seconds to pop a pill, how in heaven's name can we expect them to eat right and exercise? Again, as nutrition and fitness professionals, we wonder, what is wrong with them? Why are people so illogical? Well, the answer's pretty illuminating. You see, most of us assume that people, clients, friends, family members, base decisions on the rational deliberations of the logical left brain, the brain we like to call our inner grown-up. However, behavior research, including neurological imaging data, suggests otherwise. What really drives most of our decision-making, whether we're willing to admit it or not, is our emotional, empathetic, image-oriented right brain. And that has a host of implications for how we coach. In addition, clients' contradictory behavior, which can be quite puzzling at times, also reflects competing life priorities and brain circuits. They're usually not aware of these internal conflicts, so it's hard for them to even explain why the heck they'd sign up for a gym membership and then never show up, or vow to eat better at 9 a.m., but end up eating ice cream at 9 p.m. on the very same day. So it can be frustrating when it seems like clients are acting illogically. To help us understand this seeming contradiction, let's turn to the groundbreaking book, Switch, by Chip and Dan Heath. In this book, the Heath brothers liken the left and the right brain's relationship to a person riding an elephant. The rider is the rational left brain. The powerful but potentially unreliable elephant is the emotional, intuitive right brain. The rider may be in charge for a while, but the elephant will always win in the end, especially if they're at odds and the rider becomes fatigued from constant responsibility, decision-making, and elephant steering. There are many reasons why the elephant can become unruly. First, brain circuits, such as the orbital medial prefrontal cortex, or the OMPFC, dedicated to keeping us logical and reasonable, were late to the evolutionary game. Our smart human brain components evolved much later than our reptilian components, which control things like breathing, heart rate, fluid balance, our early mammalian components, which control things like mating and social behavior, and our sensory and motor components, which help us see, hear, taste, smell, stay upright, and play tennis. The smart human brain components floating around behind our eyes don't have neurological primacy. In other words, they're not our evolutionary default setting and thus don't guide our bodies and our behavior as much as we might prefer. For the most part, our physical sensations, feedback loops, and emotional feelings actually drive the bus. Whether we're aware of their activity or not, most of the time the more primal brain circuits are in charge of our decisions. In essence, the smart human brain contributes much less than we think. Don't believe me? Check your heart rate and palm sweating next time you feel road rage. That's your sympathetic nervous system dominant defense mechanism kicking in to keep you safe from the threat of that jerk who cut you off while yapping on his cell phone. Second, these reptilian and early mammalian brain parts are dedicated to our survival. They want to feed us, keep us happy, keep us safe, and feel good as possible. Yet dieting or embarking on a new fitness plan in the 21st century means purposely enduring discomfort, restricting activities and foods that soothe us or give us a high, and/or adding more demands or stimulation to an already busy schedule. If you think about it, why would any client ever eat less and go to a gym with bright lights, loud music, and unfamiliar equipment in order to expend excess energy? To the primal brain, these things are a threat. Threats require defense, such as running away or playing dead. In other words, bailing on a gym membership, flaking out on a meal plan, being lazy or forgetting to plan a healthy dinner. So trying to get a client to purposely endure restriction, social awkwardness, or discomfort goes against everything our brains evolved to do. It's like trying to run new software on an old, a very, very old computer. Finally, some evidence suggests that willpower, or the conscious control of unwanted impulses, may actually use up much of the brain's fuel resources. Functional MRI studies that look at glucose utilization in the brain seem to show that self-governance is energetically costly. The ability to discipline ourselves is a bank account that gets depleted pretty quickly, especially if we're making constant withdrawals without willpower-boosting deposits, such as enjoyment. In the end, you don't need to be a neuroscientist to get all this. Just remember three things. First, in neurological terms, we're wired for safety, comfort, energy conservation, and survival. Second, for most clients, working out and changing eating habits contravene those primal goals. And third, when humans perceive a threat, either real or imagined, their defense mechanisms will kick in, and you won't get anywhere, especially if you push harder. For today, let's wrap things up there. But stay tuned for part two of this video series, in which we'll discuss how to coach in a way that doesn't threaten your client's defense systems and that helps them get real results.